Welcome to Soul Guided Living with Dr. Laurel Geis. Soul Guided Living is a lifestyle, empowering you to consciously listen, align, and act your way to living your soul's calling. Sharing practical tools and techniques, Laurel's expert guests are committed to helping you live your soul purpose with passion and prosperity. Your soul is calling. You are ready. And here's your host.
Welcome to Soul Guided Living. I am Laurel Geis, and our guest today is eco-spiritual author Mary Reynolds Thompson, who helps people to discover and live their wild soul story. Her latest book is Reclaiming the Wild Soul, How Earth Landscapes Restore Us to Wholeness. So welcome, Mary. I am thrilled that you are here with us today.
Oh, thank you, Laurel. Wonderful to be here with you.
And I would love to say congratulations on your new book. I read it yesterday, and I have actually gone through and highlighted passages today, and it is an insightful book. It is deeply personal and very inspirational. So, but I want to start by asking you, you know, the title of the book, Reclaiming the Wild Soul. What is the wild soul?
Yeah, good question. The wild soul, as I look at the wild soul, is really that part of us that knows, whether consciously or unconsciously, that we are part of the earth, that we are part of the natural world. And this is the part of us that can feel deeply wounded in this modern world where we're so separate and disconnected from the nature around us.
And I agree with you, because we find ourselves a lot of times not spending any time connecting with nature. And just reading your book, I felt connected with nature. And, you know, why do you think that wildness, and you talk about the wild soul, why do you think wildness is so important?
Yes, it's very interesting. You know, there's a quote by Thoreau, which is, in wildness is the preservation of the world. And it's so interesting because often he's misquoted as saying in wilderness is the preservation of the world. But what he's talking about is wildness. And that's a little bit different. And as I've come to explore it, what I think makes it different is that it's not just about the wildness that exists, internal wildness. Our own internal authenticity, our naturalness, our juiciness, our freedom to be ourselves, to live fully and embrace wholeheartedly who we are. And so wildness to me is something that is both in the world and in us, and it has this relationship between the wild places of the earth and the wild places of the soul. There's this deep sort of call and response between the two. But to say wilderness, we often think, well, that's just, oh, you know, Yosemite.
But it's, yes, right, but, yes, goodness,
right.
Yes.
So wildness is us. We are also wild.
We are wildness. I love that. And so in reading the book and just looking at all the information that you have out there about reclaiming the wild soul, you talk about each of us having our own wild soul story.
Right.
And I was wondering if you could talk to us a little bit about that, our wild soul story, because we each have one.
We do. And it's funny, we don't talk about them very much, but how I define a wild soul story is a sort of defining moment in the natural world that in some way shaped us, shifted a belief, gave us an enlarged sense of ourselves, you know, a bigger perspective on who we are. So oftentimes these stories can happen when we're children, you know, if we're lucky enough, less nowadays as kids, you know, become so attached to their computers. But, you know, oftentimes we feel as children these moments of pure magic and enchantment where we're sort of, even if we're not consciously aware of it, we carry something into our lives about what it is to live in a world that is enchanted, sacred, beautiful, and that changes who we are inside. But even as adults, I mean, just watching a beautiful sunset can shift your perspective. You're tired, it's been a long day, and suddenly you look out your car window on the commute back home, and the sky is ablaze in color. And for that moment, something breaks through into you that kind of wakes you up, that you're living, that you're alive, that life is going on. And so those moments, if we cultivate them, if we don't just put them away in a drawer like so many holiday snapshots, if we really sort of begin to think about them, share them, these become our wild soul stories because they show us the moreness of life. You know, it's more than just the busyness of our daily life.
Right. And I know that you're also a facilitator of poetry and journal therapy. So would it be like when we have these moments of wild soul stories, you know, taking that, writing it down and actually capturing it in our journal, would that be something that you would recommend? Or can you talk a little bit about that process?
Yeah, that's also a great question. Yes. And one of the things that you can do to sort of really heighten the experience of reliving that moment as you write about it is to write about it always in the first person, but in the present tense. So even if it happened when you were a little girl or a little boy many years ago, if you write about it in the present tense, I am, it sort of, the emotions and feeling of that experience tend to be more activated within you. And then after you've written that piece, what I always suggest that people do after you've recorded what that experience was is take a moment and just read through it and go, what do I notice? What surprises me about this? What's the wisdom here for me? Because what often happens is we can write about it, and those of us that are journal keepers, you know, you can write a lot of stuff down, but taking a moment to reflect back on it allows you to draw out of that writing the wisdom that's really wanting to be sort of made visible in the moment.
Yeah, I love that because I'm a very avid journal writer. I soul journal every day and capture that wisdom of the soul as it, you know, wanting to be shared with us. And I like what you're saying there, too, about looking back at it to see the wisdom of what you've written, because I always counsel people that, you know, to take their journals and give themselves a little bit of time to actually go back and read what they've written over time and to just see how the stories have evolved as you have evolved. So that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that. I like that. So writing in the first person and writing in the present, so I am, and using that to really capture the essence of the aliveness, both in nature and in ourselves.
Yes, thank you. Beautifully put. Yes.
Beautifully. Well, I want to let everyone know that you are listening to Soul Guided Living with Laurel Geis, and today our guest is eco-spiritual author Mary Reynolds Thompson, and we're talking about her new book, Reclaiming the Wild Soul. And after this short commercial break, we're going to explore how you can connect with nature and find your wild soul story. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
Your soul's calling is the answer to someone else's prayer. Are you ready to be that answer? Dr. Laurel Geis is a spiritual author, speaker, and mentor dedicated to helping you live your soul's calling. Go to laurelgeis.com now and sign up for Laurel's newsletter. Let's get you going with classes, mentoring, and support to ignite your soul-guided life today.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
You're listening to Soul Guided Living with Laurel Geis. And today our guest is eco-spiritual author Mary Reynolds Thompson. And we're talking about how we can connect with nature and find our own wild soul story. And Mary, one of the questions that I have is, does the earth have archetypes?
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. It does, you know, and it's so funny because we think oftentimes when we think of archetypes, whether we think of them in, with using the word archetypes or not, we think about Jung's archetypes, you know, the animus, the anima, shadow, the good mother, the father, or many of us, you know, at school had at least a sort of passing knowledge of the Greek gods, right, and goddesses, and they too are archetypes. And essentially, an archetype is just a model and a pattern for a powerful behavior or energy that we hold, the collective that that all humans hold. So as I began to work on this book, Reclaiming the Wild Soul, I began to realize that the great landscapes of the earth are archetypes within themselves. So the deserts and the forests and the oceans and the rivers and the mountains and the grasslands all have this sort of archetypal wisdom. They all represent aspects of our own psyches and souls. And so when we begin to awaken to these archetypes, we're in the process of awakening oftentimes to qualities within us that the modern world doesn't really champion. So for example, if we enter the desert archetype, perhaps you can even feel it within you now. There's a silence, a spaciousness, a quiet, a vastness. Now, in our modern world, which is noisy, fast-paced, busy, cluttered, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so awakening to these archetypes within us can really have us take back aspects of who we are that we sort of push to aside because we're modern people.
You know, that makes so much sense to me, and you mentioned the deserts, and I can literally feel the stillness. I mean, even as we begin to talk about the desert, you feel the stillness and the silence, and forest was also one of the archetypes, and there's a quote in the book that says, stay rooted in the dream that breathed you here.
Yeah, rooted in the dream that breathed you here, yeah. There is something, you know, I think many, it's very interesting in getting people's wild soul stories. Many of those stories have been about trees. There's something about trees, and we live a vertical life. We humans are standing people, and the trees are known by many indigenous people as standing people, too. So we have this sort of affinity. But there is a way that a tree will call you into presence because of its rootedness. Mm-hmm. And so we're really reminded in the presence of trees to root ourselves, as they say, in the core of our own existence, in who we are, in what breathed us here.
And feeling that strength, too, of the trees. I remember I went to Cathedral Grove on Vancouver Island last summer, and I'm a tree hugger from way back.
Good.
But, you know, standing in this, you know, 800-year-old forest and literally holding the trees and standing between the trees and hugging the trees and the, you know, that energy and that connectedness and that rootedness and groundedness, the, you know, the energy. I came up with a wild soul story that day.
Yeah, it sounds like you have one there. Absolutely. Absolutely. And all the things you said of that groundedness, and one of the things that really came to me when I was writing about the forests, which I felt was such an important thing, is that trees can't run from what happens to them. You know, whatever comes at them, the chainsaw, a wind, whatever it be, they have to stand and work with that, be with it. And I thought about what that is for us humans today, that, you know, we've moved. We've been people who, when things have gone bad, we've just moved on to the next frontier, right? And often we can do that in our own lives, you know. We can just kind of do mini geographics, you know. This relationship didn't work out. This wasn't so good. I'll just move on to the next thing. I'll just move on. Often bringing, of course, the same stuff that got us into trouble in the first place with us, right? But when we look at that tree and we say, what would it be like to stand still, to say that whatever is coming at me, that I will have the courage just simply to be with it and to face it. It's such a powerful tree lesson.
Yes, it is. I'm loving these lessons. I love these lessons. And I have to take us now to the mountains, because I had this the whole section here on mountains. And, you know, on Soul Guided Living, we always talk about, you know, living from your soul and following your calling and your purpose and stepping into and being more of what you're being called to every day. And as I was reading this, you have a quote in here that says, actually the quote is from you. It says, mountains create their own weather. Wow, that line hit me so hard yesterday. Mountains create their own weather. And you go on to say, when we stand strong in our own beliefs, we learn to dance with energy, and authenticity is power. And I had never thought of a mountain creating its own weather before.
Yes. Yeah, it's a powerful. This is why the archetypes are so powerful. You once these images sort of take a hold of you, they don't let you go. They really don't. And there's this thing of when you see a mountain soaring above, you know, sea level and rising to touch the sky, that by its very power and solidity, you know, you have the rainy side of the mountain, you have the shadow, dust-dry side of the mountain, you have the storms that swirl around it. It literally does create its own sort of weather system, just as we do. When we stand strong in who we are, the energy we emit, powerful. And I think especially for women, that can be something we're challenged by. You know, to really stand. It's not about ego. It's not about showing off. It's not about anything. It's just knowing who we are and what we stand for. And that is powerful.
Yeah, you know, just standing in that, allowing that soul force, right, that power of the soul force to emanate from us, and being able to stand very securely in that, you know, because we all know we're being called and we're all pursuing, you know, that higher calling, but being so rooted and creating our own weather. I just love that. I had such a moment when I was reading that.
Thank
like,
you.
We need to share this with our listeners, you know, create your own weather. and another thought that I had, too, you know, with the mountains and, you know, thinking about rocks and, you know, animation and the fact that we're alive and the earth is alive is, you know, I remember, you know, the first time I had an experience of a rock talking to me, a mountain talking to me, and I was in Sedona and I was hiking on Cathedral Rock, and all of a sudden I started to hear this mountain was talking with me, and that there was such a huge shift in my perception about the world, because I had heard and, you know, said, yes, you know, the earth is alive, but when the earth starts to talk with you, it completely shifts your reality. It really pushes out those boundaries of what we knew before. And I just wanted to ask you, you know, what was you know, what was one wild soul story that you experienced that, you know, gave to you a piece of advice that you treasure to this day?
Well, you know, my the one that I've had several, and I've been so blessed because I spend so much time, you know, clambering over things out there in the wild. But for me, I had a really an epiphany. I look back on it now and know it was a mystical experience. I was 27 years old. It was 1983, and I had quit drinking, and I was an alcoholic. And I was terrified. I had gotten to the stage where, thank God, I really felt I couldn't go on drinking. And I was out on a stormy day on the Marin Headlands with the Pacific churning wild spray thundering against the rocks. And I recognized in that churned up ocean all those feelings of being in turmoil inside of myself. Because I really didn't know how I was going to live without drinking at that point. I was shaking. I was still, you know, detoxing. And yet, as I looked at that ocean, I knew that wild and churning as she was immensely powerful. And I tasted salt in my mouth. And I didn't know if it was the ocean's or mine. And I had this moment where I felt completely at one with that great body of water. And I knew in some way that I was strong too, and that it was okay if I was all churned up in this moment. I was going to be all right. And, you know, that moment in part has carried me for 31 years of continuous and joyful sobriety.
Wow.
You know, it was so powerful.
Oh, I can feel that. I can taste the salt in my mouth right now. And I want to thank you, Mary, for being just so open with us today and just so open, honest, and personal and sharing how these archetypes and these wild soul stories can really just help all of us to heal and to become more powerful. And Mary, I want to make sure that our listeners can connect with you. What's the best way for them to do that?
Thank you. Well, really the best way is through my website, maryreynoldsthompson.com. So it's just my name with a .com at the end, and you'll find me. And, you know, really encourage people to go exploring. There's lots of wild soul stories on my website and all sorts of things that I hope that people will enjoy, plus a schedule of all my events and things that I'm up to.
Fantastic. And your book is available online?
My book is available through, you know, bookstores, which I always encourage people, first and foremost, if you have an independent bookstore, please go look for it there. But it's also available through White Cloud Press, my publisher. And if you buy it through my publisher, then $1 goes towards planting trees. So for every book bought, it's going to be planting trees. And then you can also buy it on Amazon, of course.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being with us here today, Mary. I really appreciate it. And I want to thank all of our listeners for sharing this time with us on Soul Guided Living. And I invite you to connect with me at worldgeist.com and sign up to receive your free soul journal. And hey, let's be friends on Facebook. So every morning you'll receive inspiration to support your soul guided life. And thank you, Mary. This has been such a wonderful discussion. And join me.
Thank you for listening to Soul Guided Living with your host, Dr. Laurel Geist. To start fully living your soul's calling today, go to laurelgeist.com, sign up for Laurel's newsletter, and let's get you going on living your best life ever. Join us again next week for more expert guidance and practical tools to ignite your soul-guided life.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.